Our reading this morning is from Luke chapter 3, verses 15 to 22. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod, the tetrarch, because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see you, and good to be back with you after a bit of a break. I've missed you. As probably quite a few of you are aware, I've involved in a bit of a sideline in doing fireworks displays. And, of course, just the big fireworks season leading up to Christmas and New Year. And never ceases to amaze me how much people are captivated by light and colour exploding in the sky at night. The attraction of light and colour. And today, in many churches in the world, acknowledged as a day to celebrate particularly the baptism of Jesus. And in the Eastern Orthodox tradition, they refer to it as the Festival of Lights. And churches in Orthodox tradition are filled with candles and lights. And yes, often their festivals are accompanied by fireworks as well. And to them, it's actually a bit bigger celebration than Christmas. And light in the Bible is a symbol of God's truth and divine glory and eternal light. And through Jesus' baptism, he is bringing that light to all of the world. Where I do fireworks on New Year's Eve, been doing it for many years at Port Pirie. We do it on the John Pirie River there, off the bridge that goes over the river, and because of that setting we're able to do water effect fireworks, and these are fireworks that land on the water, float on the water, and either shoot up in fountains or explode off the water, and very, very spectacular. And so they bring together fire and light and water, and there's baptismal water, you see. Jesus being baptized in the Jordan. So Jesus' baptism also brings God's life and a light to all the world. Now this might sound like I'm trying to mount a very far-fetched theological justification for being into fireworks. And you'd be right. But not entirely so, because the baptism of Jesus is such a big fuss in Orthodox tradition because they see that it is truly huge what is going on there. That it makes us and the whole world brand new. And so it says there in the reading we had, they got the wrong idea to start with. They were wondering if it was John the Baptist, but it says all the people were in expectation of the Messiah, and he's the one who's going to come to save and set all things to rights and change everything. And so it's truly huge. So we'll explore that a little this morning, looking firstly at, well, how does Jesus' baptism do away with the old us? And secondly, how does it create a brand new us? And how do we get to enjoy that brand new life and share it with the world? So how does Jesus do away with the old us? Do you ever cause yourself problems? I mean, does it ever cause you any trouble trying to manage your life and fix it and improve it and get things to go how you'd like them to go? Surely I'm not the only one. But John the Baptist, who's a part of this narrative here about Jesus' baptism, of course, he baptizes Jesus. John the Baptist had been preaching and he'd been confronting the people with their wrongdoing, with their sins. He called them to repent, to acknowledge the wrong and to seek forgiveness and a renewed life. And he talks there, this is the part before our reading comes up, in verses 10 to 14, he was talking about all the crook things that various people had done in their different lives, crook practices, wrong things. But in the reading today, it especially talks about John's focus was on Herod, the Jewish ruler, who had done some really crook stuff. And we read about that in verses 18 to 20. But going back earlier in the chapter, John the Baptist called all the people to repent. Called them all, including all believers. And you see, sin includes the particular things that we do that are clearly wrong. But you see, at heart, sin is simply going our own way, wanting to go our own way rather than God's, and to resist God's will for us. God created us, he gave us life, he gave us all good, he gives us the gift of a fulfilled life, and so if we ignore him and go our own way, well, that's just clearly wrong. That, in essence, is what sin is, and the essence of every sin. And we are all inclined to do that, and we do that. Believers, unbelievers alike. And, you know, when God says something about it to us, when he's sort of putting his finger on those points in our lives, we also do what Herod did. John was speaking that voice of God. He didn't like it. What did he do? He locked him away. What do you and I do? We lock that voice away. La, 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 la. We don't want to hear it. Block our ears to the voice of God. Don't want to read the Bible. Don't want to hear preaching or teaching. But every one of us is in this situation. John the Baptist himself called himself unworthy. Verse 16. He called himself a sinner who needed to repent. No human being can escape this reality, this judgment of God's truth. And it's impossible for any of us to do anything about this ourselves. It's impossible for us to atone for ourselves, to cure ourselves, or purify ourselves, or improve ourselves, or make ourselves good and fulfilled as we ought to and want to be. St. Paul, too, was precisely in this situation. He says, "Wretched man that I am." And sometimes we powerfully feel that. Do you ever want the ground to just open up and swallow you? We just need the old us off our hands. We can't deal with it, can't save it, can't make it what it ought to be. We just need it off our hands. Now look, don't switch off here. I'm not just being a misery guts. just painting people as all bad. This is only half of the story. Stay with me. Need to make sure we get the whole of it, the fullness of the best news that there is in the universe. Because this is where Jesus' baptism starts to speak powerfully to us. Because Jesus himself took the sinner's baptism. We read about it. He repented of sin. So what's going on here? He didn't need to. He was sinless. That's right. But he repented. He was baptized just as though he had sinned. So if he didn't need to repent and be baptized for himself, why did he? And what becomes clear in the story of the Bible is that he did it for us, in our place. Elsewhere, Jesus also calls his death on the cross his baptism. What that's meaning is that Jesus' baptism and his death on the cross are both part of the one action that he came into the world to do. In Jesus' baptism, he was owning, he was taking on himself, he was carrying our sins just as though they were his. And on the cross, Jesus was dying for us, our sins, just as though he was the sinner, us. And he didn't do that as just a little bit of a sinner, a token sinner. In crucifixion, Jesus was given and he accepted as right the punishment for the ultimate outcast of the human race, crucifixion. Martin Luther said, when Christ became as though he was the greatest sinner on earth. And so Jesus' baptism and cross shows us his identification with us as sinful, broken human beings. He became fully what we are. True, he didn't sin and he remained the Holy Son of God, but nonetheless he became our real sin-marred and sin-broken humanity. And this is very important. It's one of the church fathers in the 4th century, Gregory Nazianzus, said, if Jesus didn't really become our broken humanity, then he couldn't really fix it. But he did become what we really are. And then, in some way, he took up in himself the humanity of every human being for all time. Paul says, in Christ God united all things in heaven and on earth. So then, in some sense, Jesus took every one of us with him through everything that he went through. And so Paul can say, when he died, we died. And Paul can say, when he was raised, we were raised with him. When Jesus went down in death, which mirrors going down in the waters of baptism, we all went down. The old us, the us that gives us so much endless trouble trying to manage and fix and improve, Jesus did away with in his baptism. As far as God is concerned, it's no longer there. He doesn't see it anymore. We might see it, we might feel it, and it's trouble, but God doesn't. It doesn't figure at all in God's attitude about us as we live by faith in Jesus Christ. The impossible burden of having to try to deal with the old us, the wretched man, as Paul calls him, is no more. We're still in our time in the West in an epidemic of self-harm, particularly among younger people. We knew at one point it was a young Christian woman involved in the church, and she was caught up really badly in this self-harm. And one of the things she said was that, When I cut myself and I see the blood run, I feel better. So what's going on here? What's that trying to do? It's trying to get rid of to kill off the us that we hate. Same thing happens when people drink themselves to death. It can be like us trying to kill off a part of ourselves that we hate. Or when we work ourselves to death. What's that trying to do? It can be like trying to make a brilliantly performing version of us to obliterate the real us, the old us that we know can't really measure up. Well, imagine being free of all that. If it's true that Jesus has done away with this old us, that would be the greatest sigh of relief in our lives. But still, as I said, there's only half the story. Jesus hasn't only done away with the old us. We need to see our second point too. Well, how does Jesus create a brand new us? He didn't only become what we are and identify with us in our broken, sinful humanity. It's totally amazing that he did this as the Son of God. But if that's all Jesus did, it would be like you and me sympathising with the drunk in the gutter, but just lying down with them in the gutter. That might demonstrate great pity and love for that drunk person, but it would still leave them drunk in the gutter. It wouldn't help them. It wouldn't change their situation. It would be love, but it would be a kind of a useless love. Jesus didn't just do that. He didn't just identify with us in our brokenness of our old us. He also remained the holy, eternal Son of God. He himself did not sin, as we saw. And what this meant is that he could therefore bring divine cleansing and saving and healing and resurrecting and glorifying power to bear upon our broken, sinful humanity. It was like Jesus, how he could he would be able to go to lepers and touch them and embrace them and not be infected by leprosy. But what happened instead? He imparted to them his healing. And so by fully becoming our broken humanity, he could then heal and restore our humanity from the inside out. So that when he rose from the dead to eternal life, he raised us too with him a new, true, glorious humanity. He raised up a brand new us. New creatures, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. And in Ephesians 2, Paul says that in Christ, God has created, some translations are minted a new humanity. In Christ, we are raised up new as true, accepted, blessed children of God the Father. And in fact, God looks at and loves and feels about us just as he does about his own eternal Holy Son. Jesus himself said it. He said to his disciples, he said to you and me, when you pray, say this, Father. He's saying that you and I are taken into nothing less than that same relationship that he enjoys with God the Father. We have the same status as him. It's also ours. That's the truth. That's the truth about how God thinks and feels about you and me. And if we don't know that in our heart of hearts, we haven't yet fully known and believed the gospel, the good news. And we need to, and we can know it through and through. some friends of mine have been very involved in ministry in the Adelaide area to Muslim people, and a number of those folks have become believing Christians. And one of the things they say that is just so overwhelming to Muslims who come to see the Christian gospel and believe in it, they are overwhelmed to tears by the intimate affection of God the Father. Because in Islam, that's something that's not known. There's not intimacy, there's not affection from Allah. God the Father loves us as he loves his Son. He is nuts about you. And, you know, as Christians, though, we can have an austere, distant, hard view of who God is towards us. We've got to get rid of that and get the gospel's view. Now, finally, third point, Jesus has created us a brand new us. Well, how do we get to enjoy that brand new us and share it with the world? In Jesus' baptism, or John the Baptist rather, he says, well, I will baptize you with water. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Baptize, Holy Spirit, fire. There's those water effect fireworks again, by the way. But through faith, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus, that new humanity is made of us, the new us, by faith and the power of the Holy Spirit, he gives that back to us. And he lifts us up to live in it and live it out in our day-to-day lives. Lewis West from Darwin, he's a Torres Strait Islander and East Timorese, discovered the power of having the full person of Jesus living inside of him. He says, I've been passionate about Jesus for a long time, but over the last few months, I've been really passionate about people knowing their identity in God. People becoming aware of who they are, because that's what's going to help people. I was growing up in church, but I had an understanding that I still had a sinful nature, and it affected every area of my life. It affected the way I saw God. I didn't see God as a loving father. I saw him as someone I had to please and work for. I was able to go to church on Sunday, but then still go and look up pornography and go steal from shops. A few months ago, me and my friends started playing with the idea, like, what if we don't have a sinful nature? We started searching the scriptures, and Romans 6 says that the sinful nature was shattered. You know, there's all these scriptures saying that we've become righteous, and we're pure, and we're clean. And so we're like, let's test this out. So I've decided to believe that, and that day something happened to me, and I'm going to have to spend the rest of my life discovering what happened that day. Like pornography, I didn't get free because I tried. I got freed because I am free from it. It's simple, because it was so simple. I just wanted everyone to know who they are. I want people to know their identity. And I've had a glimpse of it in the last few months. Like even with Indigenous people, we just came back from community and just seeing people understand who they are. And then the fruit of it is like crazy. You get people's addictions being broken naturally, straight up. I remember on the mission trip in the communities, I just started bawling my eyes out over those kids that I saw that day, and I feel his heart, Jesus' heart for them, and it's so real. So that's what my walk with Jesus is like. It's fun now, you know, because I know who I am and I know my identity. Life is good, you know, like God living inside of me. I think God sees me the way he sees Jesus. We're able to do the same things that Jesus did. God's love for me doesn't change by what I do, and he sees me the same way he sees Jesus. And he gives me the same stuff he gave Jesus, because he wants him to become manifest to the earth again through us. I don't have to fight the flesh, because once I make that decision with Jesus, I'm crucified with him and I'm risen with him. If we were to do that, there'd be total freedom. There wouldn't be injustice. There wouldn't be a difference between me and a white person. It would be as if Adam never ate the apple. What I'd say to younger generations in Australia is, don't be condemned. You can be free from your sin. You don't have to keep struggling to get free. You can be free, and it's so simple. All you've got to do is repent. You're walking this way, you find out about Jesus, you turn around. The old person is gone. You're a brand new person. You're righteous and you're clean before your Father. And then when you do stuff up, instead of letting it bring you down, you confess your sins to God and say, God, this is not who I am, right? Because you know who you are now. And then walk free. Now, Paul said in Ephesians 2:10, for we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God planned beforehand to be our way of life. You walk free. Lewis West discovered that Jesus had remade his humanity in the shape of his own and is now giving it back to Lewis to live and enjoy and share with the world, and we can all do that and know that too. And, you know, it's for us, but planet Earth is created for this. All people are created for this, and they're aching for it, even if they don't know it, even if they deny it, it's what they're really aching for. And God's trying to tap them on the shoulder all the time, and we can tap as well as we reach out in love and friendship and share that with them. Amen. Let's pray. God, our Father, you created us, and you have redeemed us in Jesus. You've taken up our broken lives and you have healed them. You've made a brand new us as your dearly loved children. And now, in Jesus Christ, you give it back to us as a gift, which we're going to enjoy and celebrate and share with others forever. And we pray, Father, so often we pull back from this gift. We don't take hold of it. We don't live in it to the full. We resist your Spirit wanting to make it explode into light within our lives. We pray that we would stop resisting, that we would receive, that we would live in the good of it, that we would love as Jesus loves all those around us in our community, and we would see many come to take hold of that light and that life and that hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.